Good morning, Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS 88.9 here in Omaha Council Bluffs, 103.1 FM Schuyler, 98.3 FM in Norfolk, and streaming live 24/365 on the World Wide Web at KVSS.com. You're listening to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And, honey, we have a very special guest with us this morning, don't we?
We do, very much so. Amy Welburn.
Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. How are you all?
Well, we're a bit perplexed.
Yep.
We've been watching the news, watching something balloon like a mushroom cloud, and what is going on here?
It's pathological.
Yeah. That's a good word.
It's, you know, I've been sitting here trying, you know, I've been blogging a lot on this and blogging articles and so on, and every time I sit down and try to blog something, like, cohesive, I'm like speechless because, you know, it's just so hard to sort of figure out what's happened here. But I think that it's not over.
Right. No.
You know, I think that maybe some of us thought, well, maybe, you know, over the weekend things will calm down and the Pope will say something at the Angelus and, you know, this, you know, these mobs that have been burning effigies and so on will sort of, you know, run out of fuel. But I don't think that's going to happen. I was just, in fact, found a cartoon that's currently running on the Al Jazeera website. And as I said, one of the things I've been struggling with is this whole thing just, you know, a bunch of crazies around the world, you know, 100 guys here, 100 guys there, or is there something bigger that's brewing? And this cartoon at Al Jazeera, which of course is a major television network broadcasting through the Mideast, it's an animated cartoon, and it shows, it's got two parts. The first part is John Paul II releasing doves of peace, and then the next part is Benedict coming with a gun, shooting the doves down. And, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, it's things like that which just lead me to really wonder and worry, as you all, where all this is going to end.
Well, Amy, you had outstanding advice this weekend over your blog. You said, go back and read what Benedict actually said at Regensburg.
Right.
And what I read after doing that was he was talking, of course, about faith and reason, that if... And help me out here because I'm not as good on these things as you are, but to have faith and it would be your actions and being reasonable would be an expression of that faith, of that relationship with Christ, which is a loving, you know, Deus caritas est, and in that relationship it's a giving, self-giving, a loving, charitable relationship, and that's how you would express it. What's unreasonable is if you have this relationship and you do violence. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
And so, and I think that's in a nutshell, but that's where he was using these examples, and of course he's a very deep theologian, so this is a very deep tome that he's writing, and it seems as though the news media just grabbed the snippet from the quotation from the 14th century emperor, in which he was trying to make that point through history where this has been this understanding of unreasonableness.
Right.
And they took that and they've just, it's been like, they might as well have thrown gasoline on the situation.
Yeah. You know, I noticed this the day after he gave this talk last week. One, I think it was either AP or Reuters, the headline that they were running on their story about this was, quote, Pope takes a day to rest after slamming Islam. Now, you know, a lot of people are starting to understand and to come to the conclusion that the media bears an enormous amount of responsibility for this. Because, as you said, Chris, this talk that the Pope gave at Regensburg, which is the university where he used to teach 40 years ago, was deep and complex, and everybody should read it. In fact, everybody should go back and read everything the Pope said last week.
That's right.
When he was in Bavaria, because it was just, you know, it's a catechesis. Every time he speaks, it's a catechesis. But, you know, the breadth of all of the homilies and addresses he gave, it just... You know, it nourishes us for weeks. But this talk was, as you said, it was about faith and reason. And, you know, I would even say that it goes, you know, his concept and what he's talking about in terms of reason is, you know, a little deeper than most of us can understand. It was not just making sense, but the question of, is God consistent with himself?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it sort of came down to. And as you said, at the beginning of this talk, he uses this example of this dialogue of an emperor, a Byzantine emperor with a Persian. And he, it's an interesting thing. Some people have done some background work on this Emperor Manuel, who had been imprisoned and held hostage by Muslims at various points during his life, and apparently had a rather deep acquaintance with Islam and the Quran, and was asking a sincere question. And the question he was asking this Persian interlocutor was, in one part of your holy text, it says there shall be no compulsion in religion. But you practice compulsion in religion. So how does this make sense? And what the Pope does in his talk is he uses that as an opportunity to sort of explain the difference between a concept of God in which, as in this particular Islamic concept of God, in which God is not even bound by his own holy text. And the Christian and Jewish view, rooted in all sorts of things, including Hellenistic thought, which was another focus of the Pope's talk, God cannot do that. You know, God cannot break his own word. And his final point is, when we abandon reason and the role of reason in religion, as well as in knowledge in general, which became the later point of his talk, we become the pawns of capriciousness. And so that was his talk, and many people have pointed out, and this is important to remember too, that that's at the beginning. The bulk of his talk was a very erudite slam, if you want to use the AP headline writer's words, against the West, against modernity, you know, in which he sort of takes, remember he's talking to academics, in which he looks at the academic world today and says, you know, this is a world in which Enlightenment positivism has taken over and become reigns supreme, and there's no room for religion.
Right.
Which then leads to problems. How can you have any kind of dialogue culturally when you can't put religion into the picture, because most people in the world, and includes Muslims, see this as an essential part of life, an essential aspect of knowing about reality. So how can you really have dialogue without that? And so, you know, as you can see from this, it was a very complex talk. And for some reason, and this is the part that I'm just sort of wondering about, you know, the media, as it always does, it, you know, when it looks at what the Pope says, you know, it wants to look for what he says about sex, or what he says about, you know, women, or what he says about Islam. And for some reason, this was picked out, characterized as a slam against Islam, and somehow has become manipulated into something that it wasn't. To the great, you know, distress of the Pope himself.
Yeah, it
is a stunning, as I'm watching this on the weekend, I was just horrified that, you know, from all this violence, from all of this uproar, that even to this point, a 66-year-old nun, Sister Leonella Zargbati, is killed, singled out. I mean, this is after, from what I have read, it was an appeal on Saturday night from a leader in Mogadishu that all Muslims revenge the interpretation given to the Pope's words. And I just, this has just gotten so far out of hand. And they demand an apology. So he says he is deeply sorry for what has occurred in the misinterpretation, and that's not enough.
No. There was, there have been various news reports this morning one leader, I think in Gaza, you know, basically came out and said the Pope has to become Islam. The only way he can make up for this is the Pope has to become Islam. There were protests outside the Vatican representation in Indonesia yesterday in which people held signs saying, let's crucify the Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a lot of questions sort of swirling around this issue. I think a lot of people are at a loss to understand how people, how an academic discussion like this mm-hmm. becomes out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not news to people in Islamic studies. But I think it's something that is, you know, finally coming out into the public realm in that the irony, of course, is, as many people note over and over again, the deep irony is that, you know, burning effigies of the Pope, declaring any discussion of Islam out of bounds, is an indirect confirmation
yeah.
of what the Pope was saying or what they were said he was saying. You know, if they are criticizing the Pope for saying that Islam is irrational, which is not exactly what he said,
mm-hmm.
you know, burning effigies of him and declaring that, you know, this shouldn't be talked about is not a real effective way of, you know, disproving his point.
Well, and I'm not hearing, I don't know, maybe you've seen it more than I have, but I'm not hearing denunciations of this behavior from Islamic leaders.
No, and I've been searching for it, and I've sort of put out a call to some of my readers asking for them to help me, because this is something I really want to highlight if I can. You know, there have been some statements after the Angelus statement yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The leader of the British Muslims said, that's good, you know, we're glad he said that. Some leaders some Muslim leaders have actually said the unsayable was, which is, have any of us actually read this statement?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because, of course, it wasn't immediately translated into many Arabic languages.
Right.
And, you know, what people were rioting against and reacting against was, of course, just a media representation of what the Pope said. But I've not heard that. And I think just as distressing to me, and this is something I'm going to give it a couple of days, I'm watching and waiting, is I'm looking for other Christians.
That was my next point.
Coming to the Pope's defense and other leaders. You know,
yeah, there seems to be a fear.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the odd thing, too, was that, I mean, these people started burning churches, and they're burning Greek Orthodox churches. They're burning
Anglicans.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Anglicans. And I'm just actually probably mostly shocked at the secular media for the lack of intelligence or depth that they took to look into anything that the Pope really had to say before fanning all of this stuff.
Right.
You're going to love this, Amy. At 4:30 this morning, Bruce and I were getting up. I turned on a network newscast just to see what was happening. And there was actually a question they were leading one of the stories. We wonder now if the Vatican will be able to censor the Pope's statements in the future.
Yeah.
Like, who's the Vatican's going to censor the that's the discussion.
Yeah, right. And you know, this is not the first thing that the Pope has said about Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, good reporting would turn that up, but we haven't seen that. Most recently, last year in Cologne during World Youth Day, the Pope met with a group of Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And this talk that he gave to them is available. It's on the Vatican website. And it's a beautiful sort of outreach of friendship. He calls them my dear Muslim brothers and sisters, my friends. The center of his talk, as it has been in most of his comments on Islam for the past few years, has been a plea to, you know, to get rid of religious violence, you know, and to enter into true dialogue with other religions and other cultures and so on. But it's a beautiful, approachable talk. But I haven't seen one mention in the media of this. Mm-hmm. You know, not one mention of that talk. And, I think one of the things that I'm, really struggling with is I think what we're going to see now in a lot of the media is blame the Pope.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That it's his fault.
Yeah.
That if violence occurs, it is the Pope's fault. And, you can critique this on so many different levels, as in, number one, how can it be his fault when he didn't, quote, slam Islam? Mm-hmm. If it's anybody's fault, it's the media's fault. But secondly, if I say something about you or somebody else, I won't use you as an example, and you beat me up, uh-huh. How is it my fault that you beat me up? This lack of logic, I think, is really starting to get to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the selective reporting, and it just, you could just go on and on and on about the whole issue of apologies and so on, and the terrible way in which Christians and Jews are regularly discussed in many Middle Eastern Muslim-dominated countries, both officially and unofficially, the way children in these countries are taught about Jews and so on. This is stuff that goes largely unreported.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
in the West. But it's there. It's a part and parcel of the, tenor of everyday life over there. But all of a sudden, the Pope has to apologize for, making a statement about history? It's insane.
It is insane. And the thing is, what he said, even their perception of what he said, is not as inflammatory, but again, I go back, their perception of it,
right,
than what has been said by world leaders,
right,
and by other Christian leaders.
Right.
So to take this one particular instance, especially taken out of context as it has,
right,
and to use this as a this there's a tinderbox here, that there's something else. And as you said, I'm waiting for other Christian leaders to step up here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out why they're not. And the only thing I can think of is that either they're perplexed or they're in fear.
Yeah.
Right.
I
think so. I think fear is a big part of it, because when you've seen this, what's happened over the past 4 days, it does prompt fear. I think my husband noted something interesting, Michael Dubriel. He was watching news last night and mm-hmm. said, and I can't remember exactly what he said, but that there was some Muslim scholar on one of the news programs last night that indicated that part of this might be that some Muslims are taking what the Pope said almost as a code to Christians. And I'm seeing some of this in the reporting, that there's a sense that the Pope is, an accusation the Pope is calling for another crusade and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, in a culture in which, the tapes of Osama bin Laden and other religious leaders over there are sort of poured over as containing their own kind of code, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps there's something to this, that if the Pope, says something that they perceive is negative about Islam, in which, specifically what he, this thing that he said that got them riled up was quoting from this emperor saying that everything that had been added to Islam asking what good had been added to Islam, or what good Islam had added to the original revelations of Christianity and Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
As to seeing that as like a code for, calling Christians to crusade or something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's maybe another, element to the reaction, which is truly, truly mystifying.
Right.
Well, it's going to be something over the next week or so to see how the news outlets handle this, if they continue to escalate this.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to know where the outrage is over this poor nun.
Right.
Serving probably their children.
Consulata missionary,
yeah,
yes.
Is martyred. I mean, she's just flat out, cold-blooded, murdered. Where's the outrage in the media for that?
Right.
They haven't even said her name on the air that I'm aware of.
No. No, and I think, that's typical. They are afraid. I mean, this goes back to the Danish cartoons business,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
In which there were a few newspapers that Wright said, the reason we're not running them is because we're afraid for our employees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not the world I want to live in, you know. And I'm sure you have said, you know, many times in your show, we just need to pray for our Pope and pray for our Christian brothers and sisters that are living in Muslim countries. You know, the Pope is due to go to Turkey at the end of November. It's still on, as far as anybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was intentional or unintentional, you know, what this has prompted is like a revelation. And, you know, we can only pray that, you know, the Pope will stay strong, that he will stay safe, and that he will be able to continue to witness, and that we'll, you know, look at him and look at everything he said, which is to look at our Muslim brothers and sisters in love, you know, and compassion, and to encourage them to draw out the best of their tradition, and to even, you know, dare we say, look to Christ. But at the same time, to, you know, call the world to sort of look at the craziness that we live in and say, you know, God is a God of love, and we need to, you know, live in a world that's shaped by that love, not by the capriciousness of a God who can do apparently anything he wants, you know, supported by the blind followers who, you know, kill themselves and kill others in the name of this God. It's a crucial moment, and as I said, whether it was intentional or unintentional, this has happened.
Well, it's brought it home to our hearts,
because
now this is touching. I mean, this in a very, very real way. I think that's been the reaction I've gotten. I look at people at Mass yesterday, and their faces, they're all kind of like shell-shocked. It's like, what? You know, what is going on here?
Right.
You know, and I think this is a moment for all of us. We're all called to go to deeper understanding of all of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and to pray. Pray for our Pope and pray for the soul of Sister Leonella Scorbati, who was a victim of a very unreasonable, senseless act.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Amy, thank you so much, and we'll stay in touch with you. And said we'll all be watching this as it unfolds over the next week or two.
And we really appreciate your insight.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
All right. We'll talk. Say hi to Michael for us.
I will.
Yeah. Okay.
God bless, Amy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. There we go, Amy Welburn. And again, if you want to give her a website for the blog, if people want to keep track of all the things, again,